Thinking about Pasha's Bullock is always a special challenge in a way, because everybody remembers maybe the Gemara in Baba Basra and Yudalid Omid Beis, where the Gemara discusses who wrote the various Sforim in Tanakh. And so it starts off with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Gemara asks like this, Umi Kosvan, who wrote the various Sforim? So Moshe Kosav Sifre Upashas Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah, and besides the Torah, he also wrote Parshas Bilam. Now, what does that mean? I mean, it means the Pasha, which we call Parshas Bullock, and really Rashi says that, or Parshas Bilam, Nevuosoi Umesholav. The Nevuos and the Mesholim, which Bilam said, that's what we have in Parshas Bullock. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah and that. Now, what does it mean, and that? Isn't that part of the Torah? So Rashi explains, Afal pi she'enon tzochei Moshe v'toyrosoe v'seida ma'asav. And Rashi is implying like this, that the Torah consists of matters which are tzochei Moshe v'toyrosoe v'seida ma'asav. It's a narrative. It's a narrative of Moshe Rabbeinu bringing the Yidden out of Mitzrayim to the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. We know the story. That's what the Torah is about. That is the narrative of the Torah. Now, within that narrative, the story of Bilam and Bullock doesn't really belong there. It doesn't tell us anything about Moshe's activities. All this happened without anybody knowing anything about it. The Shoshan, the Shvotov, the Yidden are sitting over there and they're living a quiet life where they're encamped, and they have no idea that over there, up on a mountain somewhere, you have this baleful Bilam looking down on them and wanting to curse them, whatever it is. So it's not part of the narrative. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. That's what the Gemara is saying. He wrote Sifroi, which is the Torah, which concerns his activities and the Yidden going out of Mitzrayim and going towards Eretz Yisrael and arriving at the boundary. And he also wrote Parshas Bilam, which really has nothing to do with all that. It's a self-contained story, which if it were not there, we wouldn't miss in the least, because there's no gap in the narrative at all. But still it's there. Now, of course, that creates a major, major, major question mark, and Rashi doesn't deal with that. And that is, so why is the Taka there? If it doesn't belong there, what's it doing there? So the answer to that has to be that it has something to teach us, which makes it qualified to be written in the Torah, although it's not a part of the Torah. So we need to identify. So what is that message that Parshas Bilam has to tell us, his Nevuos and his Mesholim? What is it that they have to tell us? That's A. And B, it's precision. If you're going to take a foreign object and you're going to plunk it down somewhere in the Torah, so you have to have a mahalach, where am I going to put it? So, where did the Torah Rabbi Nishan put it? He put it right after Parshas Chukas. Now, what's the connection? You know, the fact is that in certain years, when various Parshas have to be combined, so we have Chukas Bullock also, much, of course, less frequently than Achrim HaSkedoshim and Tazrim HaTzoro, but it happens. So one would expect that there has to be some kind of a relationship between the two parshas if they are put together. Tazriya Metzora, no, Pashetzach, there's a relationship. Achrim Ois Kedoshim, you've got the Arayas in both parshas, the various halachas which are listed, there is some kind of connection. Is there any shaychus between Chukas and Bullock? So, simply from the fact that the Rebbe Nishon chose to put this strange Pasha, the stranger Pasha, right next to Chukas, it seems yes, and the fact that we sometimes combine them underlines that. But what's the Shaychus? We know what Chukas is, we learned it last week. No, not Kedai to go over now all the protim of Pasha's Chukas. But this self-contained story of Parshas Bullock, which we call Parshas Bullock, and which the Gemara seems to refer to as Parshas Bilam, seems to be a completely different story. So why put this parasha over here? And moreover, why do whoever was keveya the fact that sometimes we lay in chukas bolag together, this hachroa, that they have a shayfus to each other? Now the truth is, I think that they do have a very, very, very intimate shayfus one with the other, and that's what I want to talk about in this shiur. And I just want to be makdim that to say a shiur on Parshas Bolak is certainly in any reasonable amount of time frame is impossible. There's so many protem in with the story, with the Osain, and then later on with the Nevuahs, the Mesholim, and the thing, what is he saying about, to what are the various things, Meramez, it's impossible. At least for me it's impossible. Now, so what do I think I'd like to do? I'll tell you what I think I'd like to do. I'd like to pinpoint one strich, one mehalach, that seems to go through significant parts of what happened in Parshas Bolak and Bilam. And that I want to pinpoint from the text. It's not I'm going to tell you that this Rishon says it or this Mephora says it. I'm just trying to go and read the text, see what it communicates to us, and let's see and take it from there. That's my goal. So the whole thing really needs a lot of hesbem. Like, it's a strange parasha. First the Rebbein Yisham tells Bilam that he's not allowed to go, and then suddenly it says Im Likroyes Ha'Anoshim, so he is allowed to go. Like, what's really going on over here? There are lots of things which sound very, very strange. Like, why did this whole thing happen? So there's this very interesting Ramban right at the beginning, by the second time the first time I told them that you shouldn't go with the people, and then suddenly he says Im Likroy Lecho Anoshim, if the Anoshim came to ask you to come, so then you can go with them. So Mapetom, so what suddenly happened? So there's a Magadika Ramban. Just read this little passage to you. That's the Ramban in Posuk Chof. So the Ramban schreit azoi. V'hine Hashem omeloi kva hoidaticho ki ha'om boruchu v'loi sucha lekalalam. Look, he says, what are you asking me again for, whether you can go? I already told you that I don't want you to curse the people, and that's all they want from you. They want you to curse them, so I told you not to go. V'ato chazru lefonecha. So what do they want? They know that they can't get what they wanted. So I'll tell you what the Rabbi Nisham says. V'im likroi lecho bilvad bo. If they've stopped caring about the curses which they know they can't get, but they're simply coming to call you kloimer, shiyisratzu belechtecho imohem, almenos shaloi tekalel esa'om kashahoy daticho mitchilo. If they've given up on that and they want you for a different reason, no, kum lechetom, you can go with them. But I'm telling you now, v'aches adova sha'ada be'elecho oisoy sa'aseh. Meaning, shafilu imatzave oisro levorech shetuvochem. You can go. Like you and I and they, we all understand you're not going to be cursing. That's already been eliminated, and that's not on the agenda. So what do they have in their agenda? Besachmesh. Whatever they want. But if they're inviting you now, they're obviously wanting you there, and they know it's not for a klola. So I have no objections if you go. You can go, provided that you're prepared to do whatever I tell you. Shafilu imatzave oisro levorech shetuvochem, lo siro mi bolok. V'zeitam im likroi b'inyonam kasher yitzove. Now, why was the Ribbono Shel Olam interested that Bilam should go? Why didn't they just tell Bilam, stay at home? What do you have to get involved over here for? So the Ramban says a very, very interesting sentence. Ki horotzoin lefonov yizborech shiyuvurach es Yisroel shiyuvurach es Yisroel mipi Novi HaGoyim. The Rebbeinu Shem wanted that the Novi HaGoyim Bilam should bench Yidden. it was important to the Rebbeinu Shloim. It was important to the Rebbeinu Shloim that this guy, this Bilam, should bench Klal Yisrael. Why was it important to Israel that they should have a bracha from Bilam? I mean, like they need Bilam to give them a bracha. Yes, Ramban says, Im likroi l'chor ha'anashem, if it's understood that you're not going to curse, go with them. I'm interested that you should go to them, because the truth is I'm going to tell you to bench them, and I want you to do it. And it's important to me that you should do it. So I want to understand, why is it important to the Rebbeinu Shlom, to the Yochel, that Eov should bench the Yid? The question has to be asked. So the emes is that if we look in the Psukim in Bolog over here, it's very, very interesting to read the Psukim. Now, as I said before, I'm not going to quote, once in a while I'll note a Rashi or Ramban or something, but I'd really like to just see the text as far as we can take it in what is actually communicated to us by the words. So right at the beginning of Bolak, let's have a look what's going on there. So, Vayishlach Malochum El Bilam Ben Be'oyer Pesoy Rasha Al Nehor Eretz Bnei Amon Likfaloi. He sends messengers, Bolak sends messengers, he's scared, he sends messengers to Bilam to invite him. Lema. Now let's see what he told the messengers to say. Hine am yotzo mimitzrayim. A nation has come out of Mitzrayim. He's not identifying them. Later on, the Ramban, maybe we'll get a chance to read it. It says that you see that Bolak doesn't even mention the name Yisroel. And that's why in the first brocha, Bilam is makbid to call them Yisroel and to call them Yaakov. But Bilam, there's a nation. He doesn't identify them. Hine om yotzo mimitzroyim. V'hine chiso es ein ha'oretz. V'hu yoshev mimuli. Zot Rashi, what is the implication of mimuli? V'hu yoshev mimuli. Chosaksev. There's no vov there. Why? K'roi v'mheim lehachriseini. K'moi ki amilam. In Halel. Shem Hashem ki Amilam. Amilam means that they want to destroy us. So this Muli written without the Vav hints at that. He says, I'm scared that these people want to destroy me. Hu Yoshev mi Muli. I feel in danger from these people, and they're going to want to destroy me. Va'ato, and therefore now, Lucho, no, Oroli Eso Amaze, please curse them. Ki Otsom hu mimene, because he's stronger than I am. So I need your help. Ulai Ushal Nakebar, maybe Midian and I together, that's how Rashi learns, can destroy them. Va'agoreshenu min ha'oretz, we can be make them, we can beat them. Va'agoreshenu min ha'oretz, and I'll throw them out of the land. Ki yodati es ha'shet tevarech mevarech v'ha'shet to'ar yu'ar. That's what Bilam, those are the words with which Bilam entrusted his shluchim. Now, later on, the shluchim come to Bilam, and the Rebbeinu Shem appears to Bilam. Vayova Elokim el Bilam, Vayoma Mihu Anoshim Ho Eile Imach. Vayoma Bilam, Elo Elokim, Bolak Ben Tzipa, Melech Moyov, Sholach Elai. Now, let's see what Bilam says. Moir in the world. Hine Ho'om Hayotzim Mitzrayim. He's changing the message. Not what Bolak said. Hine Om Hayotzim Mitzrayim. He's saying, Hine Ho'om Hayotzim Mitzrayim. A known people, an identified people. He's still not mentioning Yisrael and Yaakov, but he's saying the people who is going out Mimitzrayim. Not like Bolak said. Bolak said earlier, Yotzo Mimitzrayim. What's he say over here? Vayom Bayov El Zikne Vidyon, yeah, Atu Yilam, yeah. So, Hine Om Yotzo Mimitzrayim, in the past. Bilam is using the present. Hine ha'om ha'yotze mimitzrayim. Vayichases eino oretz. But it doesn't say v'hu yoshev mimuli, that I'm afraid of being destroyed. L'cho kovoli oisoy, ulai uchal lehilochem boi v'geirashtiv. It doesn't say nake. It doesn't mean to beat him, to hit him. says, I want to throw him out. I want to drive him away. So the thrust of the message which Bilam is telling the Rebbeinu Shloilam that Balak said is very different than the one which Balak actually used. You see, Balak is like this. Balak, he doesn't know what Bilam knows. All he knows is that he's in danger. He's in danger. There was a certain nation who 40 years ago went out of Mitzrayim. I don't know who they are, what they are. They're sitting over here, Mimuli. I feel in danger. Amilam, they're very strong, and who knows whether they don't have military ideas. Do me a favor, yeah? Ulai Nakeboy, maybe I can destroy them. He's in danger and he needs somebody to help him. Bilam is teaching up to the Rebbeinu Shem Kaviyochel what's going on underneath. Hinei ho'om ha'yotzem Mitzrayim. I understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim is still continuing. This people, this specific people which came out of Mitzrayim, because you brought it out of Mitzrayim, ho'om, Klal Yisrael, ha'yotzem Mitzrayim. Please curse them for me so that I can be megarish them. No nake. The issue is a different issue. I think that's what the text yields to me. I can't swear to it. I can't guarantee that I'm right. But it seems to me that that is what the psukim over here are saying. What are they saying is that I know that this nation is special. I understand that. Oh my Yotzim in Mitzrayim. I know that Yetzias Mitzrayim is still taking place, that they have a task, that they have to go to Eretz Yisrael. I would like them to leave me alone. That's all. The issue here is, I think, that what's happening is that Bilam is asking the Rebbeinu Shlom, look, I'm being asked by Balak to rid him of any shaykhus to this people. He's not interested in being influenced by them. He's not interested in anything. He just wants to drive them away. Is that okay? We asked before, what's Balak got to do with chukas? You see, we are going over here into the ikar shebi'ikrim of Jewish history. You see, when the Yidden grumbled about the man in Chukas, so the Rebbeinu Shem sent the Nechoshim. We talked about that last week, I think. That this was terrible. It was terrible. At the end of the 40 years, they're going into Eretz Yisrael. So what are they grumbling now? We talked about it. In Baal Yisrael, 2 minutes before they go in. Here in Chukas, they're on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael already. So why can't tell us is they had a different Eretz Yisrael in mind than the Rebbeinu Shem had in mind. They wanted a Balabatish life. We want to go to Eretz Yisrael, not as Oichlei Haman. We don't want to be Muchrochim to learn Torah, like the Shashmatzer brings in the Hagdoma, that Kotzer is the gematria of the shame of the Sar HaTorah, and that when they ate the mon, the Lechem Abirim, the Lechem Shemalachai HaShoros Nizoynim Boy, when they ate that, they were Muchroch to learn Torah. It's a Nishtfar Ons. We don't want to be Muchroch to learn Torah. We'll learn, we'll be Kaveya Itim, we'll have a Daf Yomi. No problem. We want to be Erech Yidden, but we don't want to be Oichlei Haman. On a temporary basis, that was fine. The 40 years in the Midbar, good. Yeah, like maybe I said the Marshal, I said it's Metshuk, everybody can be from for a while. So, but now we're going to Eretz Yisrael, let's live normal life. They abdicated, totally abdicated what the Rebbeinu Shlom had in mind. We talked about it by Shlach. What did they want over the Hachozak Hu Harofe? What's going on? The Rebbeinu Shlom said, Einchem Tzrichim L'Kli Zayin. You don't need Milchama. It's a totally different picture. It's not that they rejected Plan A and they're going with Plan B. They're going with Plan Z. It's a different Klal Yisrael, a different Klal Yisrael, a different Eretz Yisrael. It's terrible. And so the Rebbeinu Shlalom sent Nechoshim. This is the Nechosh HaKadmoni. HaNechosh, it says over there when they said, please take away HaNechosh. It's the Nechosh. It's the same old story in Gan Eden again. The Rebbeinu Shlalom wanted one thing and Adam chose another. It's the same thing over here. The Rebbeinu Shlalom wanted Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael in a certain way, and the people simply said, no, we don't want. So Rebbeinu Shlalom sent the Nechosh. It's the Nochash again. Don't you understand that you're ruining all my plans for the world? That's not what I had in mind when he had a different kavona in mind. And you're jacking this thing down. It's unrecognizable what you're talking about. That's not what I had in mind. So the etzah was to put a Nechash Nechoshes over there. Man talks about that. The doctors used to say in his time that it was unhealthy if you had bitten thy nochash to see a nochash. But the Rebbeinu Shlalom said, fine, I put a nochash up there. It's okay to see it because I want you to look beyond. I want you to look beyond to the Rebbeinu Shlalom in heaven. Do a tshuva. Do a tshuva and they'll stop biting you. The question was now, after this terrible, terrible event, so many people died because the nochash had bitten them. It was terrible. So Klal Yisrael may well have felt, okay, look, we made this terrible mistake. It's the 40th year. We're supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and we're abdicating. So maybe the whole future which the Rebbeinu Shalom has in mind for us, all the wonderful things that the Rebbeinu Shalom had planned for us and our relationship to the Umos HaOlam, Lech Lecho Me'atzecho Me'mailadetcho Me'beis Avicho Le'oretz Asher Ra'eko Ve'eschol Le'goy Godal Ve'avorecho Ve'agad Le'shemecho Ve'heyei Brocho. You'll be a Brocho to everybody. But how can we be a Brocho to everybody if we're a bunch of losers sitting in Eretz Yisrael making barbecues? We've lost it all. And I think that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom put in Pashas Bolak, and he says, Kinderlach, I want to tell you something. You're right. Everything is terrible. It really is terrible. Relative to what could have been and what should have been, it's terrible. But you should know that your future is assured. Your future is assured. You should know that you're the same Klal Yisrael. And whatever I had wanted from you from the very beginning is still going to happen. That is the gist of the Mesholim and the visions of Bilam. That Bilam is telling us that Klal Yisrael is undisturbed, and that needed to be said right after Chukas, because Chukas was the point at which Klal Yisrael was apt to go into total depression. We've lost everything, and the Parshas Bilam of all things, you know, it's such a moirat gezach when you think about it. There's an irony over here. It is going to take, I don't want to make this shiur too long, and I'm going to be cutting out half of the things that I wanted to tell you, really. But the emes is, it's important to stress the irony over here. What is the irony? The irony is like this. Here, we were medayik in what Bilam said to the Rebbeinu Shalom that Bolak had wanted. He had said, look, just get rid of them. Not talking about destroying them, not talking about beating them. I want to be loifim with them to drive them away. Disappear. I don't want to have any shaychus to them. What's happening here in the essence of things? In the essence of things, Bolak is saying, you know what? I hold like hookers. Let them disappear. Yeah? That v'nivruchu b'chor kol mishpachosu adoma. We're not interested. Just get rid of them for me. I don't want to have any shaykhs. I'm perfectly happy the way I am. That is really what was happening over there. The irony is, we're talking about Melech Moav over here. Yeah? So what's Melech Moav? David HaMelech. Melech HaMashiach. That, you have to read Parshas Bolak together with Shmuel. It's unbelievable what's happening. That
the Melech Moav, who had the idea, and he went to the trouble of hiring Bilam for that, that you can avoid Klal Yisrael's influence on history, you cannot be mushpa from them. And the Ribbono Shalom tells us in Parshas Bilam, Sinishtazai.
I just wanted to go through this a couple of the nevuas over here, but take one point from the first nevuah and another point from the second nevuah, and you'll understand what I'm trying to get at. So here. Yeah. Kimerosh Tsurim Arenos in the first Nevuah. Hatam, Bavushaha Leu Bomoisbal, Bolak had taken Bilam up on the mountain, Leroysoi, Omer, so therefore Bilam said, Merosh Tsurim Uminagvois, Ani Mabet, Veroya Oisom. I can see them, I'm up on the mountains and I can see them. And what do I see? Ki Yishkoin Levadai, Vein Imoi Goy Acha, Chi Yechoshev Hu Elof. There's no admixture over here. They are alone, absolutely and completely alone. Not like you said, Am Yotzom Mitzrayim, right? But they're sitting there, B'shem Yaakov Yisrael, Al Kein Hizkir. Ogoli Yaakov Zayamo Yisrael, Ki Hiske Lohem Shemom Anifbot, Veshemas Avoisam Lema, Shehem Am Levodad, Veshemas Norus Lohem Me Avoisam, Ki Bolot Lohoyomaske Lohem Yisrael, Rak Oma Am Yotzim in Mitzrayim, Ki Misnake Bohem, Shelo Yeda Osam, Shehoyokof Vetoida, and so on and so forth. So that's what Bilam is saying, look, this is a very, very special people. You can't avoid them. Believe me, you cannot avoid them. That's the pshat that they're levodat. What's so important about the bodat? Nebuch, just before Shavuos B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Eicho Yoshva Bodat. Bodat can have a lot of implications. But what's the real bodat? What's the pshat that they have no shaychus to anybody else? I mean, that's really, you know, the beginning of Jewish history in Hazinu. B'hanchel Elyon Goyim B'hafrido B'nei Adam, when he gave the nations their nachalo, he gave them their countries. Yatsev Kevulos Amim L'mispa B'nei Yisrael. The mishpah of the B'nei Yisrael, 70, he made 70 umas. But the difference is that the 70 umas are umas with the koyach of their countries. And here, the Mishpah B'nai Yisrael, 70 people, not 70 countries. Chalis each yochid, this makes up Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is different. Yeah, they're levodat. How's it go over there? Mishpah Yisrael, Chelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachaloso, Yimtzoyer Be'eretz Midbo. He didn't give them a country. Yimtzeyo be'eretz midbo v'soyhu yileil yeshimon yisoy v'venu yivaynenenu yitzrenu ki yishalenov kinesha yoral kino agozelov yirachev yidin ayidin. They're special. So if they're so special, so why put them in this world? We know that Yaakov and Esav made the contract. Yaakov and Esav made the contract that Yaakov gets olam habo, not olam hazeh. No, the old kashya, so if he gets olam habo, so what's he doing here? Tell us, we see that he is different because he's levodat. There's no shaykhus to the umas olam. Never. We're going through difficult times. But etzem, the yisoid of Klal Yisrael. Later on he says, mi mono afa Yaakov, yeah? You can't count them. I mean, the Torah is full of counting them. So what's stuck in the pshat that you can't count them? He's talking about the essence of Klal Yisrael, that they're mufka from anything physical. Numbers
the amounts. These are all physical entities. This, and this. Now, could you make a census in Klal Yisrael? Yeah, they made a census. Yeah, but the Pshat is like this. That's coincidental. In the some essence of Klal Yisrael, they're mufka from numbers, because the Metzias is not a physical Metzias. The Metzias is a spiritual Metzias, and in spiritual Metzias, and there is no such thing as a number. Those are the limitations of a physical world. So of course, they're down here now. So down here, so they're individual people, blah blah blah. So you can count them, but the Etzer Mimonos Afa Yaakov, you can't count them. They're really mufka from that. So what are they here for? So we've learned so many times from Rav Lutner Zecher Tzaddik Livracha that if you're not in your right place, you're here to be mashpia. The Sherman belongs into Olam Haba in the Chanukah Dikashmuzen, the Sherman Shmeiner, right? And so what's it down here for? To be Sherman HaMishra, to be Mekadesh things. That is what Klal Yisrael is down here for. And that is what Bolak, Bilam is telling Bolak, my Tiger Bolak, you want to say, you want to destroy them and get rid of them, yeah? So I'm already touching, and I'm saying that was because of your unsophisticated understanding. I tell you what you really want. What you really want is to say, I want to live my life without them. I don't want to be under the hashpoah of Klal Yisrael. I'm not interested in being under that hashpoah. So I'm telling you, you can't avoid that, because they're not physical. They're bodhat. So if they're bothered, so what are they doing over here? The Teretz is, that's what it is. And you, Mr. Meyer, through Rus, are going to produce a David HaMelech, V'hoyo b'acharis hayomim nochon yeha beis Hashem b'rosh shehorim v'niso migvaos v'noharu elov kol hagoyim. They're all going to come to the Klal Yisrael, and they're going to say, L'chu v'nale beis Hashem, let's go up. Yoreinu mitrochov, let's learn from them. Ki mitzion teitzesoro, v'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. You, Bolog, you, Mr. Moyov, the present Mr. Moyov, yeah? Never. All you want to do is to say, get rid of them, yeah? Just drive them away. It's fine. I don't want to destroy them. I just don't want to have any shayfas with them. I don't want to be under the hashpah. And what Bilam is essentially telling him in all the Mesholim and in all the Nevuahs is Taira Bolog. Yeah, at the end he says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in Achras Hayomim. Poor Bolog, yeah. You think you can avoid Klal Yisrael? You can't, because the Ribbono Shel is interested in a tikkun olam b'malchus shada. The Ribbono Shel is interested in being misakin the world, and the way to be misakin the world is through Klal Yisrael. V'nivruchu b'cho kol mishpucho yisrael adoma. That is what's really, that's the tension, that's what's going on over here in Pashas Bolak. So I wanted to just go to this Ramban and the second Nevuah, because that stresses very, very, very much what we were talking about before, that they were afraid that through chukas, through their grumbling about the mon at the last moment again, at the end of the 40 years, they had finally closed the door on their uniqueness, and that they had taka lost everything, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you are doing a maisa nochash. But the Nochash cured them eventually. Not because they looked at the Nochash, but because they looked above the Nochash. And what Precious Bolak is telling them, you know what? Your destiny has remained unchanged. That's a Moirdi Gesach. So the Ramban goes on, Vlayibit Oven B'Yakov, V'loy Ro Omol B'Yisrael. What does that mean? Hashem Elokov Imoy Usruas Melech Boy Keil Moitziyam Mitzrayim Kesoyafois Re'eim Loim. Let's have a look what the Ramban says on that. What does that mean? So he says, what does it mean that Lohibit Oven B'Yakov? So he says like this. Says, I'm going to give you another explanation in Oven and Omal. Oven can
refer to something which is deceiving. Ki hadover shelo yirye v'lo yovoy ki shekahu, something that is simply not going to happen, yikore oven v'ovel, is called in Lashon HaKodesh oven and omel, ba'avur shelo yigal l'odem imeno rak ha'omel. Why is it called omel? Because all the effort that you're going to put in is nothing. So that's why it's called omel. That means something, you put your koichos into something, and you do and you do and you do and you do, expecting this and that to happen as a result of that, and you're all excited that that's going to happen. The Torah calls it oven and omel. So Ramban explains, why omel? Because that's all you're left with. All you're left with is the efforts that you put into it, because they're going to be unsuccessful. Zogt der Heilige Ramban, that lo hibit oven bi Yaakov, lo ro omel bi Yisrael, means that by Klal Yisrael nothing is wasted. Boy, it's so myodic. We have to be so grateful to Bila at a certain level. Yeah? See, this emes was churning inside Bilam. That's why when the Ribbono Shel Olam made it come out, it came out. It didn't come from anywhere else. He understood where the emes is. And he understood that Klal Yisrael is special. And nothing is wasted. I'm going to read the Ramban for you. V'yitochen oit lefaresh ki oven v'mokam hazeh k'moy tachas oven ro'isi ole kushon v'omol k'moyu. They both mean wasted effort. So it's cause of a sheker, ki adova shlo yir v'lo yovoy ki shekahu yikore oven v'omel ba'avur shlo yigal l'odom imeno rak ha'omel yoyma. So Bilam is saying as follows, hine borech lo kachti uvorech v'lo yashivenu. Why am I going to give these brachas? Ki lo hibit odom, no man, not the Rabban Shem, no man ever saw be Yaakov v'loiro ish b'Yisrael ovan v'divresh kosev. No man, even the goyim, ever saw in the history of Klal Yisrael a wasted second. Nothing that happens to Klal Yisrael is ever wasted. Everything has a purpose, and everything is leading towards a goal. Ein bitchonam sheker, their bitochon is not going to be disappointed. And the things that they hope for are not going to be disappointed. Everything is going to happen. The history of Klal Yisrael will never ever anything go to waste. Oh. Ki Hashem Elakov Imoy. Always. Asher lo yechazev v'lo yinochem usuruas melech gibo eboi. Listen to this. Shelo yinutzach le'olam. Now, who's the yinutzach? Is it Hashem or is it the Yidden? Listen to this last sentence. I'm not sure that I'm translating it right, but I think I'm translating it right. I noticed that in Rav Shavel, in his translation, he translates it a little differently, but I think that the Loshon of the Ramban, to me at least, sounds as follows. Ki b'hoitzio oisam me'mitzrayim, hine loy toikev godal. Who's this loy? When Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, took them out of Mitzrayim, Losh Rabim, hine loy toikev godal. Who's the loy? If he's talking about the Yidden, he should say it in the plural. Ki b'hoitzio oisam me'mitzrayim. I think it means to Hashem, hine lo tof godol. When he took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, he armed himself with enormous might, k'soyaf ha'zra'im, like the horns of the wild ox, al kol behema, ve'ech lo yiskaimu kol b'chaseyem ve'en bohem nachash v'kesem. He's saying like this, you know why the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Mitzrayim? You know what happened when he took us out of Mitzrayim? The Ribbono Shel Olam was taking out his weapons. He was taking out the koyach godol, like the horns of the Re'em, that they can smash everything in front of them. Yidden can also smash everything in front of them. Smash what? Smash the sheker, smash the avodah zarah, smash the evil, smash the tumah. The soyafos Re'em loy. The Ribbono Shel Olam is mighty in his world from the moment that he took Yidden out of Mitzrayim. They are like the soyafos of the Re'em, these huge horns which allow the Re'em to smash everything in his path. That is what Klal Yisrael is to the Ribbono Hashem. We now understand the emes. That's the end of Hazinu also. Harninu goyim amoy. That all the anti-Semitism and all the rishas and all the hatred, the end is going to be harninu goyim amoy. And that is the irony of Parshas Bilam. That the Bolak, Mr. Moyov, who all he wanted, the way Bilam touched him up, not the way he touched it at the beginning when he sent the shluchim, but he doesn't understand this, what's coming up really. But what Bilam says is what he really wants is not to fall under the hashpoah of Klal Yisrael. Well, not only is he going to fall under the hashpoah of Klal Yisrael, but the whole koyach of Klal Yisrael as the answer to history's problems is going to come from Moyov. This Melech Moyov, there's going to be a Rus, there's going to be a David HaMelech, there's going to be a Melech HaMashiach, and that is the shaychlus between Pashas Bolak and Pashas Chukas, that the terrible, terrible Yirush that must have overtaken the Yidden after the Nechoshim, after this debacle, when they complained about the mon on the doorsteps of Eretz Yisrael, turns into a soya for Yisra'im, full of tikva, full of hope, full of blessing, full of Kedusha. That is what the history of Klal Yisrael is going to be about.